To 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Very simply, at the end of this service today, I just want to read out two verses to you. And I pray that the message will encourage God's people, strengthen those of us who are saved in our faith, and those of you who are here today and you're not saved, that the Lord will speak to your soul. There's a message here, I believe, for all of our hearts. Look what it says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 and 10. It says this, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. There's no greater blessing in this world than to know that you're saved and that you're on your way to heaven. Of course, the truth is this, only those who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God can know and do know for sure before they die that they're going to be in heaven. The greatest blessing in life is to know that you have everlasting life. Now I wonder, can I ask everyone in the meeting today this question? Do you know that you have eternal life? Are you sure that you are on your way to heaven? Because the truth is this, you can know. Indeed, you must know. But thank God when we turn to the Word of God and when we read the Scriptures of truth, and that's the only thing that matters just now. What the Bible says. It's not important what I say or what I think. It's not important even what a church says or thinks. The most important thing is what God says in His Holy Word. And of course we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable to our souls. And I pray this afternoon that as we turn to this text of Scripture and as we come to consider God's wonderful salvation, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, and that if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, that the Lord particularly will speak to your heart and reveal unto you not only your need of salvation, God's salvation, but even today that you will receive God's eternal salvation. My prayer is that as you leave God's house, after this service is over, that you will leave knowing that you're on your way to heaven. Now, what do we learn here about God's salvation in this text of Scripture that we have before us? And I hope that you have a Bible in front of you. If you've come to church today and you haven't a Bible with you, then there's Bibles in the pew in front of you. And just you lift the Bible out and turn to this passage of Scripture, because everything that I'm going to say, and I'm going to be very simple, everything I'm going to say is going to be based upon what we read here in this text of Scripture. You see, men and women, that's the preacher's job. That's the preacher's responsibility. To explain to men and women, to explain to you what the Bible says. And that's why we have the Bible before us. That's why we open the Bible. That's why we read the Bible. Because we want to find out what God says. As I have said, it's not important what I say or what I think. But it is important what God says and what God thinks. Because someday, you and I, no matter what we believe, we will all stand before God. The Bible says that God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. And there's a day coming when we will all stand before God and give an account of our lives upon this earth. And more importantly, we will give an account of what we did with his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we learn here about God's salvation? Well, take a look first of all at verse 9. And you'll see first of all the wonderful blessing of God's salvation. What is the wonderful blessing of God's salvation? Well, take a look at what verse 9 says. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Not a wonderful statement. You know, the Bible clearly teaches that all who die in their sins will receive the wrath and the judgment of God. Though I know in this age in which we live, this 21st century, many people do not believe in the judgment of God and in the wrath of God. But if you're going to believe the Bible, then you have to believe that all those who reject God's salvation and reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will receive the wrath and the judgment of God. The Bible says, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. The Word of God emphasizes time and time again the wrath of God. He that believeth on the Son shall not see death, but he that believeth not the Son, he that believeth not the Son will receive the wrath of God. That's what the Bible tells us very, very clearly. And there's many passages of Scripture that I could turn you to show you very clearly that this is a fact and that this is a truth. Let me just read some of them out to you. In Romans 1 verse 18 it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Ephesians 5 verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And then we read in Revelation chapter 6, and what a solemn portion of Scripture that is. And of course, if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, you will know that the book of Revelation is speaking about end times. And in this portion of Scripture, we read what's going to happen at the end of this world. Let me read you these words. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" So there we have the truth set before us concerning this day of wrath and this day of judgment that's going to come upon this world. All those who say no and reject God's free offer of salvation will receive the wrath of God. That's what the Bible says. But here's the wonderful blessing of God's eternal salvation. Here's the wonderful blessing that God promises all those who put their faith and trust in him. Look at our text again. What does it say? God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. The Thessalonian Christians had been saved and delivered from the wrath of God. That's what the text of Scripture is teaching. Paul here, of course, is writing to the church of Thessalonica. And as he writes to the church of Thessalonica, you will know that he's writing under the inspiration of God. In other words, he's writing to them what God has told him to write. And as he pens this wonderful epistle, and it's a wonderful epistle, and you take the time to read the whole epistle, but as he writes this wonderful epistle, he comes to emphasize to them this great blessing of God's salvation. And the blessing of God's salvation is that the child of God, the one that's saved, the one that's redeemed, the one that's born again of the Spirit of God, the one who has trusted Christ as their own and personal Redeemer, they will never enter into the wrath of God. They will never know what it is to be judged by God for their sins. Because instead of receiving the wrath of God, the Bible tells us here that they have obtained salvation. Salvation. I wonder today, as we're gathered in God's house, let me ask you this question. Have you received God's salvation? Have you received God's salvation? You know, the Bible says about the people of God, about those who are saved, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to know, no matter what happens to us tomorrow, child of God, no matter what the future may hold for us, what a blessing it is to know, even if tomorrow we have to face death itself, what a blessing it is to know that we never enter into the judgment and the wrath of God. We'll never know what it is to be judged for our sins and condemned for our sins and be lost in hell forever. Because the Bible tells us here very clearly, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And my friend, that can be your experience today as well. I know there are many in the house today, many in God's house, and you can read your title clear to Mansions in the Sky, and you have the assurance of salvation, and you know this truth. Well, let it warm your heart again. Let it encourage your soul again. But if you're not saved in the meeting, you're not a Christian, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you can also receive this wonderful salvation. And you can know that you have God's redemption and God's salvation. And you can know and have the assurance that you'll never come under the condemnation and wrath and judgment of God. You see, the Bible says that God will judge sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Simple gospel text that even the children in church today will have learnt, even in Sunday school and in children's meetings. But you know, they teach us vital truths, eternal truths, that man is born in sin, and that man, because he is born in sin, is the enemy of God, and because he's the enemy of God, he's lost and heading towards the judgment of God. But for the man, the woman, the young person who receives God's salvation. Now, it's not man's salvation. It's not a particular church's slant on salvation. It is God's salvation. Those who obtain God's salvation will never come under the condemnation and judgment of God. So that's the wonderful blessing of God's salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, take a look at the text again, and you'll notice something else about this wonderful salvation. Notice, secondly, the only grounds of God's salvation. The only way whereby you and I can obtain this wonderful salvation. Look what it says. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, underline these words. By our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Salvation is granted to the sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ, and only on the basis of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Therefore, man cannot obtain God's salvation any other way. He cannot obtain God's salvation on the grounds of water baptism. He cannot obtain salvation on the grounds of good works. He cannot obtain salvation on the grounds of the sacraments. He cannot obtain salvation on the grounds of religion. God's salvation is only granted to the sinner, that's you and I, on the grounds of Christ's finished work of redemption upon Calvary. Salvation can only be obtained through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important that you understand that. It's very important that you learn that wonderful truth. The Christians at Thessalonica received God's salvation when they put their faith and trust in Christ alone and in his finished work upon the cross alone. You see, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He died upon the cross to shed his precious blood in order to provide eternal salvation for you and for me. And when he died upon the cross, he cried, "It is finished." I'm sure you've read that in the Bible. I'm sure you've heard that many times. That was one of the last cries of Christ. Indeed, it was the last cry, because after that he yielded up the ghost and died. He cried, "It is finished." Now, what was finished? Well, man's redemption was finished. Man's redemption was accomplished. When the Lord Jesus died upon the cross once, it was a once and for all, never to be repeated sacrifice. He only died once. He only gave his life once. He only shed his blood once. And that's why after he died, the third day he rose again from the dead. And after that 40 days after he rose again, he ascended back up into heaven. And that's where the Lord Jesus is right now. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. So the Lord Jesus doesn't have to die every week. He doesn't have to die every century. He doesn't have to come back again and die again, for he has already died. And the work is finished. And the blood has been shed. And all who put their trust in him and put their faith in him to save them, he will save them. But that's the only basis whereby you and I can be saved and have everlasting life. Some people believe that they can get saved through good works. I remember speaking to a man a number of years ago. And I went to the hospital to visit him. I was asked to go and visit him. It was long before I ever came to Enniskillen. Many, many years ago. And he was a good churchgoer. And he claimed to be a good Protestant as well. But you know, when I started to talk to him about salvation, I found out very quickly that he was trusting in everything apart from Jesus Christ to get him into heaven. He told me that he was a good churchgoer. He told me that he was baptized. He told me that he had learnt the catechism. So you know now he was a Presbyterian. He told me that he sought to be a good neighbor. And he believed that those things were going to get him into heaven. And I had to tell him, well, you're not going to get into heaven. There's not a chance of you getting into heaven if you're going to trust in those things to get you into heaven. And I had the privilege of turning him to the Word of God and showing him from the Word of God that salvation, God's salvation, was only granted to the sinner on the basis of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And unless he was trusting alone in the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus had done on the cross for sinners, then he would never get into heaven. And he said to me before I left, well, I'll just keep trusting in my church. I'll just keep trusting in my good works. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God's salvation is Christ and Christ alone. It is not Christ plus the church. It is not Christ plus good works. It is not Christ plus anything. It is Christ and Christ alone. And that's what Paul here, as he writes to the Christians of Thessalonica, that's what he emphasizes to them. Look at the text. Let the text speak to you. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. How do we obtain salvation? By our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That's how we obtain God's salvation. That's how we are saved, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, the Apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ said this himself. Now here's what the Savior said when he walked upon this earth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a dogmatic statement that is. But men and women, it is a statement that you need to read and that you need to study and that you need to meditate upon and that you need to find out, well, what is the Lord Jesus really saying here when he makes this statement? Well, what is he saying? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man can get into heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. You see, there's only one door. There's not two doors. There's not three doors. There's not four doors. There's only one door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Therefore, I have to say it to you today, if you're trusting in anything else apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, then you'll never get into heaven. Now, that's what the Bible says. That's what this text of Scripture is teaching. That's what the Word of God declares. And I challenge any man to turn up the Bible, to open the Bible, and to show me any other way whereby they can get into heaven. My friend, you'll not find it. That's why it is so important to read the Bible and to study the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then there's nothing I can do for you. Absolutely nothing. You've got, first of all, to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible declares that it is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that the Bible is God-breathed. Every word in the Bible is the Word of God. And when we come to the knowledge and to the realization that the Bible is the Word of God, then we've got to read what the Bible says, and we've got to find out what God says, especially when it comes to this doctrine of salvation and how we get to heaven. And the Bible says that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross. That's a wonderful message. My friend, that's the message that you and I need. That's the message I needed. That's the message I needed, because I was born in this world in sin, shaping an iniquity on my way to hell itself. I needed to hear this message. And I'll never forget the first time I heard it preached. And I'll never forget the night I heard it preached, the night the Lord saved me. And it hasn't changed. And it will not change. Oh, my friends, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. What a wonderful, wonderful salvation. Listen to this lovely hymn. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Saviour's name, salvation through His blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. The Bible says that God hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8 and 9, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through him, men and women. Through him. Through Christ. So don't trust in the church today, no matter what church it is. And don't trust in the Free Presbyterian Church to get you to heaven either, for it'll not get you to heaven. And don't trust in the minister. I can't get you to heaven. I'm just a sinner like you. Oh no, there's one who was sinless and spotless and pure and holy and righteous. The Son of God. The Lord Jesus, the second person in the Holy Trinity. He's the one. All the basis of God's salvation is found in Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. Now there's another thought, and I know time's going on. Take a look at this text again. You'll see not only in this text the wonderful blessing of God's salvation and the only grounds of God's salvation, but you'll notice here the glorious prospect of God's salvation. Look at the end of verse 10. Now again, we're seeing what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? What does God say in His Word? That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now, what's that talking about? Whether we wake or sleep. Now, I went to bed last night and I was awake when I went to bed. It's how quickly the nights go. You close your eyes, you fall asleep, and the next thing, you're wakened again. Now, it doesn't mean that type of waking and sleeping. And you would understand that. No, it's talking here about living or dying. The death of the child of God is described in the Bible here as sleep. Asleep. This does not mean that the Christian, when he dies, stops existing. It simply means that death, the Christian's body is separated from his soul. And of course, that's what happens when you die. When you fall asleep, if you like. When you die. Your soul is separated from your body. You see, the body dies and is put into the grave and rots away and congeals away. But the soul, the real person, lives on, goes out into eternity. And what Paul here is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is this, that at the death of the Christian, the Christian's body is separated from his soul, because verse 10 says, whether we wake or sleep, we will live together with him, whether we are alive or dead, in other words. We belong to Christ and we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. You see, our bodies may sleep or stop existing at death, child of God, until the resurrection, but our souls will be with Christ, which is far better. That's the wonderful prospect, the glorious prospect of God's salvation. The glorious prospect of God's salvation is when I die as a Christian, when I die as one who belongs to Christ and is saved by his grace, although my body will die, fall to the earth, my soul will go to be with the Lord for all eternity. That's what is being taught here. That's what's being taught here. Now, I know that people today laugh at us when we tell them we're going to heaven. They laugh at the Christian, the child of God, when they say, well, when we die, we're not really going to die. The old body's going to die, but we're going to live on. And child of God, that's the glorious prospect of God's salvation. Once we die, once we take our last breath upon this scene of time, we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. What did Paul say? He said this, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, for I have a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Here we have the glorious prospect of those who are saved and who have received God's wonderful and eternal salvation. Can man obtain eternal life? Can man know before he dies that he's going to heaven? Yes, he can. And my friend, you can know it today. You can know it today. Before you leave this church, you can know that you're going to heaven. Before you leave this church, you can know that you'll never be in hell, that you'll never come under the judgment and condemnation of God. We've already seen that in the first point. And you can know it too. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care whether you come to church every week or whether this is the first time you've been in church in 20 years. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He loves you. And believe it or not, he loves me too. He loves us. But although God loves this world and God loves the sinners in this world, God will not allow anyone into heaven unless they have come by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because while God is a God of love, he's also a God of justice. And sin must be dealt with. Your sin must be dealt with and my sin must be dealt with. Our sin must be dealt with. Jesus died on the cross to deal with our sin. And he has dealt with the sins of the ungodly. But if you refuse to accept him as your Savior and believe on him as your Redeemer, then God will judge you for your own sins. And you'll die in your sins and be lost forever. But here's the wonderful blessing, the wonderful prospect of God's salvation, the wonderful prospect of God's redemption. When you're saved, when you trust the Lord as your Redeemer, whether you wake or sleep, whether you live or die, you're going to be with the Lord. And you're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples before he left this scene of time. John chapter 14. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now he was talking about going home to heaven and preparing a place for them in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see that? Isn't that wonderful? Child of God, let us lift up our hearts today as we leave God's house, thanking the Lord for what he has done for us. We don't deserve it, but he has given unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of his hand. But my friend, whoever you are today, You too can have this salvation. This salvation is for you if you receive it. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you too can have this salvation. And that's the wonderful, wonderful gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ to all who come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Let me read you the verse again. What a wonderful verse it is. The two verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Do you possess eternal life? Do you have eternal life? If you haven't, this is how you get it. This is how you receive it. And these are the blessings. The blessings of God's redemption. And my friend, you can have it today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you.